your human spirit may have been injured in these pre-Adamic wars. There was a conspiracy leading to a rebellion, leading to wars. What happens when angels fight? It's such a weird thought when you have an immaterial being fighting another immaterial being. What is it in an angelic war? I mean, does anybody even get injured? Is that possible? Why do angels have swords? Could an angel actually be stabbed? But I'm going to tell you what the answer is, because I actually know the answer. Answer?
You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall.
Hey friends, just a few things to say before we get to the podcast today. Number one, Awakened. Now available when it is available. If you can't find it on Amazon, please remember to go to bridemovement.com, because we'll get you taken care of over there. Also, dandoval.com is the official home of the Discovering Truth podcast. So check us out. And if you decide to become a podcast patron by supporting this podcast with $5 or more per month, you'll be invited to our new podcast patron roundtable. Once a month, we jump into a room, hang out, talk, chat about things, ask questions, get answers. I'm there. It's live. You should be there too. We'll see you on the other side. All right, friends. So today on Discovering Truth, we're going to have an interesting conversation, because I'm going to start getting into some of the realities we've been exploring regarding the pre-Adamic ages that are blowing minds. A lot of people may want to debate the reality of pre-Adamic ages, or if there was such a thing as pre-Adamic ages, you know. We're a little bit further down the road where we're actually already ministering into the trauma that the pre-Adamic ages induced upon human spirits, and seeing people achieve real breakthroughs and measurable shifts in their lives in present time as a result. So I'm a little bit beyond the debate on were there pre-Adamic ages or not, but understanding what those pre-Adamic ages were, what they meant, what happened in them, that is something that we are getting piece by piece. And I'm going to give you just a little bit of framework. Obviously, Awakened, my newest book, will give you a very robust theological framework on this subject that you could take to anyone from your pastor to a scholar and say, look, in order to have this conversation, or maybe just a debate, Let's just look at the facts. Now, with just a few high-level bullet points, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And then it says, and the earth was without form and void. And when we look at Isaiah 45:18, we learn that God did not create the earth void. So It actually says God did not create the earth tohu in the Hebrew. Now, when the Bible in Genesis 1:2 says the earth was without form and void, it's tohu, formless, and void, bohu. It's like, you know, so God is saying in Isaiah 45, he didn't create the earth the way it is found in Genesis 1:2. So what happened? Why is it that way in Genesis 1:2? And this forces us to ask the real question, is there a gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2? And the clear answer to me is yes. God certainly created the heavens. He created the earth. He created every being, including you and I, that populate his creation. And then something catastrophic happened. Something caused the earth to become without form and void. And one of the possible definitions of the word haya, which is the word in Genesis 1:2 that says, and the earth was, the earth haya, well, it could be the earth became. That is one of the possible definitions of that word haya. So when we look at that, we run into another passage found in Jeremiah 4, where Jeremiah is prophesying about Judah and an incoming invasion. And while he's speaking to a very literal situation that was happening, there's this point where he breaks in Jeremiah chapter 4 and says, "And I saw the earth, and it was without form and void." And while some people try to say that, oh, he's talking completely about this invasion and this prophecy over Judah at the time that he's prophesying, that's it. The reality is, from the point where he says, "And I saw the earth, and it was without form and void," in Jeremiah 4, and that next few scriptures, you have to make it an entire allegory or metaphor, because there's no literal application to anything that follows in that passage. I believe that as he's prophesying, the Lord is setting up a juxtaposition. In other words, he's prophesying about things that are going to happen to Judah, an invasion that's going to come, destruction, judgment, etc. But what you have then is a juxtaposition, a parallel, where it's like, oh, and there was another judgment that happened in a different time frame. It happened between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, and he's shown the earth without form and void after that cataclysm. And then he's comparing that cataclysm, it's a comparison to the kind of nature of the judgment that's about to come on Judah. But he is looking at a literal event. He is actually being shown Genesis 1:2, and he's saying in that passage, "And all of the cities were essentially leveled," which means that there were cities on the earth before Genesis 1:2, therefore before Genesis 1:26 through 28, where God creates Adam. So who built those cities? Who lived in those cities? What was populating the earth? What kind of activity was going on here and elsewhere throughout the universe? What's the full picture? And the truth is, we're not given the full picture. We're given a path in the Bible to understand the bloodline of Jesus, who Jesus is, why he came, and what he's redeeming us to. But the Bible doesn't tell us everything about everything. There are a lot of mysteries and a lot of secrets. And one of the things that is true about the Bible, it says that in the last days, knowledge shall increase. And the reason why the knowledge is going to increase in the last days is because God is going to breathe on his scriptures, and he's going to give old men, young men shall dream dreams, and old men shall see visions. You know, that's prophesied to occur along with the move of the spirit of Elijah and other things. Like, there's a lot that's going to move our understanding into deeper realms, and it's driven by the Spirit of God. Well, I'm here to tell you, friends, that one of the things that God is literally breathing on at this time is this pre-Adamic age, and he's expanding our understanding of it. I've been on this podcast for a while now. This realm really opened up to us a little over 2 years ago. And since then, we've ministered into it enough to see all kinds of things. And so what we've been able to iron out, what I've been able to iron out by working with many people, is that prior to Satan or Lucifer being cast out of heaven and onto the earth, there was a we could call it a conspiracy leading to a rebellion, leading to wars, which then produced an outcome. And that ultimate outcome was Revelation 12, Michael and his angels fought, and the dragon as his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was place found for them in heaven any longer. So he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So Satan gets cast to the earth, and for all intents and purposes, Jesus references that when he says, "And I saw Satan fall like lightning to the earth." So this is the culmination of a series of events by which there is a transition of ages. Genesis 1:2 is most likely the result of Lucifer's casting down to the earth with the impact of extraordinary, incalculable ramifications producing cataclysm, and now earth is without form and void, and God moves in a renewal process throughout the entire book of Genesis 1. So the 7 days of creation become this renewal process. Now I'm not here to talk about all of that. What I'm going to talk about is what happens before that war with Michael and the conclusion, because it involves us. And that's the part that is going to be so new to so many people in the body of Christ. It's like, wait a minute. I have a role. And as soon as I bring this up, a lot of people automatically they go to reincarnation. They're like, wait a minute, are you saying you believe in reincarnation now, Dan DeVos? Like, we're so far apart when that becomes a question in response to the communication. So let me just define reincarnation. Reincarnation is a recycling of soul, okay? That means the soul comes in, lives a life, dies, then comes back in, sometimes as a human, sometimes in certain belief systems as not a human. You may have a reincarnation cycle as a worm in some belief systems, and then you keep coming back in soul into this same earth, into this same timeline, one historical period after another, every so many years, every 100 years or so, you come back, here's another shot at it, and you try to achieve ascension or whatever you want to call it. And so that's reincarnation in a nutshell. It's a recycling of soul. What I'm talking about is not that. What I am saying is God created the human spirit. And what does the Bible say? May the God of all peace sanctify you completely. I pray whole spirit, soul, and body. We're a triune being, friends. And the spirit is different than the soul. And the spirit existed with God before God created the earth. And one of the evidences of that is Job 38. Because in Job 38, verses 4 through 7, we learn that the sons of God sang together along with the morning stars. They shouted for joy as God is laying the foundation of the earth. That means that, you know, what were we before we came into the earth? We were created, friends, as sons of God. God doesn't create orphans, right? He creates sons. He creates daughters. That's what our spirits were. So the sons of God, like we actually watched God form this planet in different ways and in shapes and forms. And then move forward, we come into this world at an appointed time, and the spirit is sent in from God and receives a soul and a body by which we navigate a life on this planet. Okay, and the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. So there's going to be a judgment based not on 30 lives in my belief system, but on one life. So no, I don't believe in reincarnation, but the pre-existence of the human spirit has nothing to do with reincarnation. It has to do with incarnation, just incarnation, like one incarnation. But the spirit comes in, and then there's a soul and a body, and there is a life to be lived. Now, with that said, before it comes in, the spirit exists. We were created in Christ Jesus. We were created a very long time ago. Our names were registered in Zion. We were written in the Lamb's Book of Life long before we came into the earth. God foreknew us. Those he foreknew, he predestined, according to the Book of Romans. So with that said, that pre-existing human spirit had a lot of experiences. And one of the things that we've run into is, okay, so if there was this war, which there was, where Michael and his angels fought and the dragon and his angels. Some people get really funny, because we wonder things, right? Have you ever pondered this? What happens when angels fight? Have you ever pondered? Because most of us, we don't see angels fight with our physical eyes. So the assumption is, well, maybe they just go back and forth like cartoons and they don't really get hurt, or maybe it's just moving energy around and then they all go home and go back to their businesses. You're like it's such a weird thought, like when you have a immaterial being fighting another immaterial being, because our connection to the physical realm is so concrete and so reinforced by experience and facts that we live out. It really gets hard to consider the realities of the spirit world. And you could walk away from that thinking, yeah, what is it in an angelic war? I mean, does anybody even get injured? Is that possible? Why do angels have swords? Do they just push each other with them? Could an angel actually be stabbed and incur damage? It's a wild question. But I want to tell you what the answer is, because I actually know the answer. And the answer is yes. Spirit beings can be injured in warfare and battle, just like physical beings can be injured in warfare and battle. And so this is the reality, right? What happens is there's this coup leading to deceptions and people being, and by people, I mean angels, human spirits that are not human yet because we're not to the ages of Adam yet and beyond, are all being recruited attempts are being made, and some people are, and fallen angels and other things, elemental spirits got involved in this, are being recruited to the side of Lucifer, who's basically the accuser. He assumes that identity, Satan, which means accuser. So, but his first administration is, I'm going to accuse God to his creation. I'm going to accuse the character of God. I'm going to make suggestions that maybe he's not who he says he is, or maybe he's not a good leader. And so there are beings that start to follow him, start to fall in line with this whole thing. And then there is a series of events that lead to wars. And actual wars are fought. The climax of that is Michael and his angels fighting with the dragon, who loses that war at the end, and it gets cast into this earth for a new age and a new era to begin a process where God is moving into another aspect of his redemptive agenda, because it was in this time frame, the age of Adam, where Jesus was appointed to be sent, but he was a lamb slain from the foundation of the cosmos. So God actually knows everything before it happens, plans for it all, but transition out of the pre-Adamic ages and into the age of Adam. And with that, there's this casting out. So these wars, there are many beings fighting in them on both sides. And the crazy part of it is, as I have ministered to human spirits, people all over the world, I kid you not, we run into two things. When we begin to get to the pre-Adamic memories, it is almost inevitable that that spirit is going to have a perspective on the heavenly wars that were taking place. Because it's in like everyone's spirit memory bank. Those wars, that split in the creation, affected everything, and it predated Adam, right? So when we begin to get into these memories coming from the human spirit, I will have human spirits tell me either A, they were deceived, or they were taken captive, ended up on the side of evil, and others stayed loyal to Yahovah and Jesus, and actually fought against each other, and fallen angels and holy angels. Like, all these spirits were fighting in battles in pre-Adamic ages across the creation. Now, this is interesting, right? Because if spirits can get injured, guess what? Your spirit, your human spirit, may have been injured in these pre-Adamic wars. And the wild part of this is some of those injuries never healed. So it is actually possible for some people to be born with a broken spirit, because the spirit has pre-existing injuries from traumas that occurred in a different age. Does the Bible say anything about this, Dan Duvall? Absolutely. Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Yeah, the spirit can absolutely be broken. And that's how I know spirits can take injury in battle. The Bible says in Proverbs 17 and verse 22, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Can you imagine? So you can go through life and things in the physical world, physical experiences and the trauma of just living in such a broken world, if that can break the spirit, just imagine, right? In the pre-Adamic ages, there were actual wars being fought, and the memories that have been given to me, I mean, are vast and wild, right? Because as I'm ministering to people, I'm getting memories of like, yeah, I was, you know, Daniel, I was on the front line of this battle, and then, you know, half of the army I was with, they all abandoned their post at once, and it was a sabotage, and it was an ambush, you know, and then I was taken hostage and tortured, and like, these are memories coming from actual human spirits about things that were survived, suffered through, all in pre-Adamic ages prior to coming into this world. Others had more success in battle. Others, you know, completely ran for fear, went into hiding in solitude, trying to sit out the wars, etc. But at the end of the day, you know, we're opening up a conversation because this is what I'm going to tell you. This is what I'm going to tell you. For those of you that listen to this podcast and have the guts and begin to engage with your human spirit. And again, it's like, well, how can I do that, Dan Duvall? We have all kinds of resources. We have a course on the Bride Ministries Institute called Ministry to the Human Spirit, How to Minister to That. I have all you need in this book, the actual pathway you can get to all this stuff. But if you take the dive, okay, for yourself, engage with your own human spirit and start to engage with your spirit's recollection of the pre-Adamic ages, you may find that your spirit was or watched situations where there was abandonment happening on battlefields, where spirits were recruited to the wrong side, where spirits were taken hostage after participating in battles that were lost, where spirits were injured by weapons. One of the wildest things for me is that on multiple occasions, and this is something that I'm personally just having to wrestle through, because I was very involved in the pre-Adamic wars. I mean, I've said this on other podcasts, but it was like, no, I served as a general. And so I did plenty of battle. And, you know, in my mind, it would be nice to think that the only thing that my human spirit stabbed as a warring spirit in the pre-Adamic ages was demons and fallen angels. But people were also stabbed and shot. And I've actually had multiple people in ministry, during ministry session, have their spirit recall to me the way in which they were stabbed or shot or injured by the actions of my spirit in that age. And I have to repent to them. I say, wow, it's wild. Because what this sets up is an actual layer on understanding human psychology and relationship that we never considered before. Can you imagine that you can meet a person that your soul may be absolutely cool with, but that your human spirit may have ancient memories that are conflicted about? It's wild to think about all the possibilities. And now we're having to. It's a new world, friends. What we're going to find in the future is that as we are letting God bring healing and reconciliation to our human spirits as part of our redemptive journey in Christ, we're going to be wrestling through, in some cases, memories of human spirits belonging to people that we know today, for good and for bad. Yet God is putting all of us on a redemptive journey that's not only relevant to the soul, but to the spirit. Welcome to the next era in the body of Christ. You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Visit me at danduvall.com, where you'll discover merch, books, and the opportunity to engage in our private social network. Join the tribe by subscribing to our email list and supporting this podcast.